Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Excited to be in church? Good, me too. Glad you're here. Hey, real quickly, we took an opportunity in worship just to pray for people, and I saw a lot of hands going up. And I want to encourage you, if you were praying for something specifically, which obviously you were, but if it was something to do with your health, I want to encourage you, go to the doctor this week, have them check it out, because I really believe that today God did a miracle in your body, and you're healed. I don't know what it was you were praying for or believing for, but I believe that He is a God of miracles, and that today He did a miracle in somebody's life. And here's what, once you discover that He really did that for you, do me a favor, would you send us an email? Let us know, because we want to celebrate with you. We want to share with the church. Are you with me? Don't just keep that to yourself. Come on, it encourages somebody else to believe for their miracle as well. All the young people, you can take off for your class. All the middle schoolers, we got a great class planned for you. How many of you guys thought camp looks like fun? Doesn't that look like a great time? Man, that's in 2 weeks, and we're looking forward to that. We had about 224, I believe it was last year, going to hit about the same amount this year, and we're going to see a lot of young people get touched by the Word of God, not just having fun, but we're going to go after it, and we're going to see kids touched by the presence of God, which is fun as well, by the way. And hey, turn your Bibles this morning to Numbers, Old Testament book of the Bible, Numbers chapter 23. We're going to look at one verse today. Last week, we unofficially started our series, Covenants, and we're really going to dive into that today, talking about what is a covenant, a little bit of why covenant, how God speaks through covenant. And then through the course of the summer, we're going to begin to just look at the covenants of the Bible. And the reason we're doing this is because when you begin to understand the way the Bible was written, when you begin to understand the different covenants that are in Scripture, you begin to see God's heart more clearly. And God's heart is for you. God's heart is with you. God loves you. He has an incredible plan for your life. And what's going to happen is this, is as we go through this idea of covenants, you're going to see that more clearly. And what's going to happen is your heart's going to open up and you're going to receive all the great things that God has for your life. I believe that. I declared it last week. I believe that this is a great summer for Canvas Church. It's going to be a summer where we see supernatural works, such as we shared with you about the little girl getting healed. I believe God's going to do it for you. So I want to encourage you to just dive into this topic of covenants, learn, see how much God loves you through that, and then just begin to open up your heart and see what He does in your life. Another great thing that's happening is we are starting our Canvas leadership track at the end of summer in August. You might be sitting there saying, what is the Canvas leadership track? It is where we take college courses and we teach you the deeper things about Scripture. And we're actually going to be doing a class called Covenants, and we're going to be doing one called Doctrine, New Testament Survey, Old Testament Survey. And so what I believe is going to happen through the summer as we dive into this, because we're not going to be able to touch on everything, that you're just going to be just be stirred and be like, I want to go deeper in that. And so we're going to make those classes available to you. So stay tuned about that, where we can go deeper into this idea of covenants. The Bible, though, is written in covenantal format. It's actually broken up into two major covenants as you read your Bible throughout the week. Come on, how many of you guys read your Bible throughout the week? All right, that's a good thing to be doing. As you read your Bible throughout the week, what you're going to see is that there's the New Testament and the Old Testament, okay? It's really the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And it's broken up in that way. The Old Covenant, as you read through it, you're going to see a lot about kings. You're going to see a lot about prophets and God working through people and establishing His word and different covenants with people. In the New Testament, it's where Jesus shows up on the scene and begin to establish the new covenant with humanity. But within these major covenants, the New Covenant and the Old Covenant, what we begin to discover, there are several significant covenants in Scripture, seven predominantly. I'm going to give them to you here real quickly, and then we're going to go through them this summer. If you have your notes, in the app, open up the app, the notes are right there. You can fill in the blanks. The first one we're going to see in Scripture is the Edenic Covenant. This is a covenant established in the Garden of Eden, and where God begins to set everything into motion, begins to set everything in order, and there He establishes a covenant really with all of humanity in the Edenic Covenant. The next one we're going to see is the Adamic Covenant. This is a covenant made with Adam for future generations. And then you're going to see, we're going to walk into the Noahic covenant. God's word being established with a guy named Noah in Scripture. And then it goes from there, and we're going to see the Abrahamic covenant. And this one might take us a little more time. There's lots in this. But this is a covenant where God comes and establishes Himself with Abraham. And then we're going to see the Mosaic Covenant, where God establishes his word with Moses. And then we're going to go from there and through to the Davidic Covenant. This is the great King David. The Bible says that this is a man after God's own heart. God establishes a covenant with David. And then we're going to go from there and walk into the New Testament, and we're going to see what's called the New Covenant, okay? These seven major covenants that we're going to cover. And what we're going to see is that throughout all of them, this is God taking the step towards humanity, revealing himself, revealing who he is, revealing the purpose and the plans he has, and revealing how we can be a part of that. Something you got to know right off the bat is every time a covenant in Scripture is established, it is always God taking the approach towards humanity and revealing himself towards humanity. It is never man coming to God trying to find God. Something you need to know, God's not lost. All right? He knows where he is. He's never been lost, okay? We are never in search of God. God is always in search of us. And therefore, he comes through all these major covenants and establishes himself to humanity. Here's what we begin to see as we look at these over the summer. We begin to see that God reveals himself as a covenant-making God. He's the one that makes the covenant. We see this, that he is a covenant-keeping God, that he never wavers from his covenant, right? He never sways to the left or right. Once the covenant is established, it is set, he abides by it, okay? It's not like parents. What do you mean by that, Pastor? How many parents have ever done this before? If you don't clean your room, you're not gonna get any ice cream. No parents ever done that? Okay, that's right, we're in California. If you don't clean your room, you don't get a kale smoothie. Whatever it is, all right? Ice cream. How many of you guys have done that, right? And then they don't clean the room, and what do you still give them? The ice cream, okay? Something we're going to discover real quickly. God don't do that. He'll give you another opportunity to get ice cream, but you ain't getting ice cream for that one because you didn't clean your room. He makes the covenant. He keeps the covenant. He reveals the covenant. You don't just make it and keep it and be like, hey, I made a covenant and I'm going to keep it, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. That's like, hey, kids, I'm going to give you ice cream if you can figure out what I want you to do. Right? Is it the windows? I don't know. Clean them first. Let's find out. No, it wasn't the windows. Is it vacuuming the floor? I don't know. Check and see. Right? Whole house is clean. It's like, oh, we don't even have ice cream. <It's> like, that's not God. God doesn't make a covenant and keep the covenant and keep it a secret from us. He actually reveals his purpose and his plan to us. That's pretty cool. What we're going to see as we go through covenant is we're going to see that not only that, he is a covenant enabling God, right? He doesn't just make the covenant, keep the covenant. By the way, here's what I want you to do. He actually empowers us so that we can live according to his word. It's awesome. He does that now through the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. It's like a good parent. Hey, I want you to vacuum the floor and then you get ice cream and then you don't give the kid a vacuum, right? God don't do that. God makes the covenant. God keeps the covenant. God reveals the covenant, and he empowers us to live within the covenant. Are you with me? Yeah. All right, we're going to see a covenant nature of God here in Numbers 23, verse 19, as we jump into today. Let me just set this up for you. What is happening here in Numbers 23, verse 19? What's going on? What's the story that's taking place? What's taking place is God's chosen people in the Old Testament, known as the children of Israel. Okay, now you might have missed what I just said. It's God's chosen people, okay? Some people wonder, why Israel? Well, why Israel? Because God chose them, right? It wasn't like a whole bunch of nations got together and had a national Olympics to compete for God's favor, right? Doesn't work that way. And it doesn't work that way today either. It's not like you can do anything to compete for God's favor. You can't do anything to compete for God's grace. You can't get together and try to earn it and say, God, look at me, look what I've accomplished. Work the same way in the Old Testament. The reason the children of Israel are God's people, because he looked down and said, I choose them. Works the same way today. The reason you are sitting here today, the reason you are a Christ follower is because God chose you. Amen? So he chooses Israel. Now Israel is making their way and traveling, and they're coming to the land of Moab. Now the king of Moab, a guy named Balak, doesn't know the relationship that Israel has with God, but he just sees a mob of people coming, and his thought as a good king is like, this ain't gonna work. Those people are gonna overrun our cities. They're gonna overrun our territory. This can't happen. What are we gonna do? Well, I'm reminded of a guy named Balaam. Balak thinks to himself, and a guy named Balaam, and he's a prophet, and he's actually anointed by God. And Balak remembers Balaam, and he says, hey guys, I want you to go get Balaam for me, because whoever Balaam curses is cursed. And whoever Balaam blesses is blessed. So go get him. We're gonna have Balaam curse these people that are coming, and we're gonna be okay. So they go to get Balaam. They show up, they tell Balaam what's up. Balaam prays, God says, nope, don't do it. Balaam says, sorry guys, can't do it. These guys go back to Balak, says, can't do it. What? Tell him I'm gonna give him a large amount of money. So if we fast forward through the story, here comes Balaam now to make some money. And he's okay, I'll curse him. And he actually gets up to try to curse him, and he's not allowed to. And instead he begins to bless him. The king over here, Balak, is like, what? Like, dude, I hired you to curse them. What are you doing? And Balaam's just like, I can't do it. Why could he not do it? The reason he couldn't do it is because a covenant had been established by God with the people of Israel, and it was impossible for them to be cursed. A lot of people wonder today in the natural, why is the Jewish nation so blessed? Covenant. God is held to his covenant. We see the covenantal terms right here. We pick it up in this story, one verse. Listen to it now. Verse 19, it says, God is not a man who lies. Did you catch that? God doesn't what? Did you also catch something else? He compares it to man who are liars. Sorry, guys. It's in the Bible. Some of the women are like, I knew it. God is not a man that he should lie. What is the Bible saying there? The Bible is saying this. The Bible says God's nature is completely contrary to your nature. The way you think, the way you interact, your thought process, the way you process things is completely different. God is not like men. Men can lie sometimes. God's not like that. He's not. He cannot lie. Listen to it now. Or the son of a man who changes his mind. Now, I don't know about you, but had it read this way, I could probably follow it a little bit more. Or the son of a woman who changes her mind. Guys, that was your cue to jump in, because all the women right now are like. He's not a man who lies, or the son of man who changes his mind. What does that tell us? It's covenantal terms. God is stuck to what he said he's going to do. He can't lie, and he's not changing his mind. Listen now, it's a rhetorical question. Does he speak and not act, or promise and not fulfill? And the answer is no. Covenantal language, he can't lie. He can't change his mind. He's bound to what he said he's going to do. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, I pray in the next few moments that, Lord, you would just speak to us. That, God, we would learn from the idea of covenants, not just today, but this whole entire summer. And, Lord, the goal of our learning wasn't just to be able to understand covenants better, and ultimately not even just to understand your word better, all those things. But I pray the goal would be to know your heart for us more, and that we would continue to discover your son Jesus, to know your amazing love towards us, and walk in the incredible plan that you have for our life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Anybody ever been to a wedding before? If you're married, hands should be up, your own, right? Maybe you're not married yet. How many of you guys want to get married? A few of you, okay. Been to a wedding, maybe your own, maybe you visited some. If you haven't been to a wedding, how many of you guys have watched Say Yes to the Dress? Okay. So we all have a good image of what a wedding is, right? Like, I mean, this beautiful thing that takes place, this union between a man and a woman. And there was a wedding that was happening, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was like the ocean was in the background. There was the arch with the flowers, and there was the runner, right, where the flower girl would drop the petals and make it even more beautiful. And there was the ladies all dressed in their nice dresses, the men in their tuxedo. The sun was setting in the background. The music was just perfect. It's playing, and here the people walk in, and now it comes time for the little boy carrying the rings, right? And he comes and he's got the pillow with the little rings tied to it. And he's walking down and he would take three steps. And all of a sudden he would stop and he'd go, "Rawr!" First time people kind of look like, different. Maybe it's planned. Three more steps, he looks at the other side. "Rawr!" People are kind of like, "Okay, whose kid is that?" "Is that one of the Mears kids? We need to do something." Three more steps. Rawr, all the way down. Parents are like, "What is going on?" People are like, "What?" Even the bride and the groom are kind of like, "What's happening right now?" And gets up, turns around, looks at everybody. He's like, "Rawr!" And then just stands proudly in place, holding that pillow. Wedding goes on, finishes, they're all sitting down, ready to have food. The kid's running around playing, and someone calls him over and goes, hey, kid, come here. "Hey, can I ask you a question?" "Sure." What were you doing? You would walk down the whole way, and you were growling at everybody. And then kid goes, "I was being the ring bearer." Runs off and keeps playing. It's like, get it, ring bearer? He got asked to do something, but he had the wrong concept of what it was. And so the whole way down, rah, thinking that he is fulfilling everything that they asked him to do. And you know what? I believe there's something in church and in Christianity today that looks a lot like the ring bearer. That we think we have an understanding of what God has asked us to do. Maybe out of naivety and we don't understand scripture, or maybe because of bad preachers. Preachers that don't share the whole gospel in its context and what it means. Instead, we just preach, "Hey, God loves you." And here we find ourselves maybe walking through our spiritual journey a little bit like the ring bearer. And the world's looking at us and we're like, "Rawr!" And they're like, "Whoa. What are you? I'm a Christian." "No, you ain't. Pretty sure you got that wrong." And the reason we have it wrong, without even realizing it, is because we don't understand covenantal language. We don't understand the Bible is written in a covenantal format. Oh, we understand prenuptials, right? Like, hey, before we get married, let's have a contract so that if this thing goes awry, I'm sorry, this is just my opinion, okay? Notation, Ben's opinion. If you're walking into a marriage like that, it's doomed from the get-go. Because what happens when you stand there and you're looking at each other for better, for worse? "Glad I got the prenups. Because this thing could go south." Right? We understand that kind of language. We understand amendments, right? Like, okay, this thing is written, and this is okay. Don't like that part. Can we amend that portion? We understand breaking contracts, don't we? Not just even breaking it, but we understand renting a house and not paying rent and they can't get rid of us because we're in the state of California, so it takes them like 9 months. But wait, you're supposed to pay and then you get the place and then We understand that, but what we fail to understand is the idea of covenants. See, covenants, you can't look at covenants through those eyes. A covenant is God coming and establishing something with us. And what we're going to see through scripture is that we can either accept it, we can reject it, but we can never change it. We can say yes, and here's what happens, and it's crept its way into the church, and it's crept its way into Christendom, in that we don't want to miss out on anything. I mean, I think everyone in here, if I ask, like, how many of you guys want to live a life that's blessed? How many of you guys want to live a life that's free? How many of you guys want to live according to God's word? What? I like the free part. I like the blessing part. But what do you mean about living, like, what about that part? And so here's what happens is we don't want to miss out, because there's a huge thing in our society, the fear of missing out. There's actually hashtags for it. That was a hashtag. Also my karate lesson. Fear of missing out. So we don't want to miss out. So we don't reject it. We don't fully accept it. What we do is we try to change it so it fits with us. But that's not the way God establishes himself. He comes and says, hey, here's who I am. Here's what I'm all about. Here's what I can do. You want to be a part of it? Come on. But you can't change it. This is the way that God speaks to us as he reveals himself. But too oftentimes, we're not living that way. We're living like the bear. Just proudly walking through our Christian lives like, I got this. But we're missing it. We're missing it. God comes and establishes himself. He comes and does that. What is a covenant? Let me just give this to you real quickly. What is a covenant? Here's what it is. Here's the definition. Signifies a mutual understanding. I get it. Between two or more parties, each binding himself to fulfill specific obligations. God initiates it every single time. Says, here's who I am. Here's what I'll do. And now we can either accept it, reject it, but we can never change it. We can accept it, reject it, but never. God takes the initiative. He does this thing. Let me try to just paraphrase it, put it in my own words. Here's what happens. God always, throughout Scripture, right from the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, from the very beginning, God always shows up and says, hey, here I am. That's why the Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. What's that? It's an introduction. The Bible's written in covenantal format. In the beginning, God. Oh, you need a reminder of who I am? I created the heavens and the earth. Did it pretty quickly too. And then, oh yeah, all humanity, I did that. All the animals, that's me. Okay? So I'm God. Here's what I've done. And then he says, and here now is what I want to see you do. I want you to be fruitful, multiply, fill the whole earth and subdue it. Yeah. Okay? Revealed. I'm going to empower you to do that. Okay? And now there's just one thing. That tree over there, don't eat from that. And the first covenant is established. That's why the Bible's written the way it's written. Yeah. You begin to see this whole thing like, oh. And it's God coming and revealing himself. See, but I feel like sometimes we miss it. We want the blessings. I want to live in freedom. And that's typically what gets preached on a Sunday morning. He's got freedom for you. You can live in peace and in harmony. Figure it out. It's covenantal. It's covenantal. And see, when you don't live in the covenant, there is no blessing. When you don't live in the covenant, there is no protection. There's no covering. It's only when you live within the covenant that it's there. Judges chapter 6. It's not in your notes, on your app, but we mentioned it last week. Judges chapter 6, there's a guy named Gideon. Anybody ever read the story about Gideon? If you haven't, great story. Check it out, Judges chapter 6. Gideon is one of God's people, and yet he's hiding because he's fearful for his life because enemies are attacking them, taking all their provisions, taking their food. And so now he's just trying to provide some food. He's hiding out in a wine press, threshing wheat, and trying to provide some food for himself or his family. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord shows up. and says, Gideon, mighty man of valor. He's like, what? And they begin to have this conversation. Listen to what Gideon. Gideon looks at the angel of the Lord and said, if God is with us and for us, then where are all the miracles that my parents told me about? Where are those miracles at? I mean, if he really is. And the angel of the Lord begins to reveal a plan to Gideon. And the very first thing Gideon has to do is he has to go tear down all of the altars that they were using to serve other gods. In other words, God never abandoned you, Gideon. Your people abandoned God. And you've been serving other idols. You've been worshiping other idols. And the only way the covenant can exist again is as you tear down those other idols and those other things in your life and you get back into covenantal relationship, then the miracles will be there again. Then this will be there again. Then you'll be able to experience freedom. You'll be able to experience joy and life and happiness. Are you with me this morning? See, some of you are sitting here today and you're wondering, why is my life not blessed? Why is my marriage not blessed? Why is your marriage not blessed? You know, the greatest picture of a covenant really left today, as long as it's not desecrated, is the covenant of marriage. I mean, the Bible uses it time and time again to talk about our relationship with him. That we're the bride and he's our groom and he's coming for us. And so in weddings, man, they're a holy thing. And you stand there with your bride or with your groom and you look each other in the eyes and you do these vows. What are you doing? You are making a covenant with one another. Man, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, till death do us part, right? And you make, my eyes are only for you, right? And the pastor will take you through these vows. And you make this pact, this covenant. You say, man, my eyes are only for my wife. And then you're looking at pornography. And you wonder why your marriage isn't blessed. Because you're no longer walking in covenant. You got a little side thing going on, little online chat happening. And you wonder why your marriage isn't blessed. Because you're no longer living in covenant. Are you with me this morning? See, people wonder, I don't know, can you pray for my marriage? Well, let me ask you a few questions first, because I can pray all I want, but he's a covenantal God. And if you made a covenant with that person and you're not living according to that covenant, marriage ain't gonna be blessed. Are you with me this morning? This is the language that God uses. This is the way he operates and he reveals himself. And here in Numbers 23, verse 19, man, we see this covenantal thought that, man, God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of a man that he should change his mind. What does that tell us? That gives us assurance, ladies and gentlemen. That should be an encouragement to you that God is not going to change. That if he established it, he's going to do it. He's gonna fulfill it. He's gonna make it happen. Man, I love that because on a macro level for the church, man, God has promised some stuff to his church and I want to see it come to pass. But also on a micro level, as I begin to walk forward with my life and in this journey, that when God speaks to me, he is not just taunting me. He is giving me a future. He's giving me a hope. And if he speaks that to me, he's going to fulfill it. He can't lie. He doesn't change his mind. He's going to bring it to pass. And so time and time again, what we're gonna see over and over, and some of you might be saying, man, why are there so many covenants? There's so many covenants because we see this process. Throughout our journey this summer, we're gonna see it. God will form something. He will fill it. Very beginning. Listen, God's covenant wasn't with the earth. God's covenant wasn't with the animals. God's covenant wasn't with the night and the day. God's covenant was with humanity. Why? Because he formed them and then he filled them. He breathed life. He breathed existence. The only one of his creation where he imparts himself, setting up from the beginning that what he wants with you is an amazing relationship. What he wants with you is unbroken communion. Listen to me. He is a good God. We sang about it today. And everything about the word of God, everything about the covenants we're going to see this summer, it is God always coming saying, man, I want a relationship with you. Can we be friends? Can we hang out together? Can we be with one another? I'm for you. I'm not against you. I got a great plan for your life. And if you just get into covenantal relationship with me, it's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. He forms something. He fills something. As he fills it, there's a season of fruitfulness. And it begins to be fruitful. And it begins to work. And then there's a season of failure, where man begins to break the covenant. And then guess what? Because he's such a good God and he operates by grace, he says, well, that one's over. But I got another covenant for you. It's not like mom and dad, right? Well, just give them the ice cream anyway. No, he operates in grace, where he says, you know what? You didn't get that one. Let's start a new one. It's passed away. This is new. How about you? That gets me excited. Establishes his covenant with us. Let me just give you these things real quick and we'll be done. You getting anything out of this morning? Why covenants? Why talk about them this summer? Number one, understanding covenants gives us a greater appreciation of Scripture. Gives us a greater appreciation for the Word of God. As we begin to read it, he is the one who makes a covenant with us. It is his word. He comes, says, hey, here it is. That's why we have this right here, right? He comes and he establishes, and this gives us a greater appreciation of Scripture, because now we begin to read through it and we can begin to look and see why it's written the way it is written. Listen to me, the Bible is not a bunch of disconnected stories. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not a bunch of rights and wrongs. It's not a bunch of obligations. The whole entire Bible is God saying, hey, I want to reveal myself to you. Here's who I am. Here's what I'm about. I got a great plan for your life. And I don't know about you, but that gives me a greater appreciation for the Word of God. Number two, why covenants? Because it gives us a greater faith. It gives us a greater faith. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, it gives me great faith because he is the one who keeps the covenant. He's a covenant-keeping God. He comes and says, hey, here it is. But then he also keeps it. And if he keeps it then, he's going to keep it today. It builds my faith when I begin to see. It makes him trustworthy. He doesn't miss the appointment. He doesn't miss the invite. He always follows through with his commitments that he's made. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, understand therefore that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is a faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations. Wow. This is my favorite part. Listen to it. And lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. Here's the covenant. I'll keep it. Here's what I'm going to do through it. I'm going to love you. Here's what you have to do. Obey my commands. I love that part. He lavishes. And he doesn't just say love, his unfailing love. Man, his unfailing love. His unfailing love. Think about that for a moment. Someone needs to hear that this morning. Worship team, go and come up. Someone needs to hear that this morning. Listen to this verse. Listen to it. Just set your notes aside for a minute. Set your Bible. Listen to me read it. He is faithful. And lavishes, listen to it now, lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him. Someone needs to hear that this morning. There's someone in here right now that you feel like God's failed you. You feel like he hasn't fulfilled the promise he had towards you. You feel like he missed it. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but there's someone sitting in this service right now and you're here and that verse kind of just went in one ear and out the other. Because you feel like God failed you. You feel like God failed you in your marriage. You feel like God failed you in life, that you're not where you're supposed to be. Matter of fact, the questions would look a lot like this. If this hadn't happened, then I would be here. If this opportunity would have came about, then this. If that wouldn't have happened in my life, and you're really beginning to question God. There's somebody here that needs to hear this morning. Listen to it. Because he wants to do this for you today. He wants to lavish you with his unfailing love. His unfailing love. His unfailing love. So Lord, I pray for that person right now in this service that feels like, God, you forgot about him. That, God, you failed him. That nothing seems to be lining up and working out. Lord, I pray that you would show yourself faithful to them once again and that you would remind them that you are a covenantal making, keeping, revealing, and enabling God. Hallelujah. So Lord, I pray you touch that person right now. There's something, I feel it so strongly. You're here. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you right now. He hasn't failed you. He hasn't left you. He's got you. He's got you. His timing is perfect. His timing is perfect. His timing is perfect. His timing. Matter of fact, even over the last couple of weeks, you've been questioning God. You've been saying, God, if you're with me, if you're for me, then why is this stuff happening? I've been praying for this, but it seems like the opposite's happening. Man, just stand firm right now. Matter of fact, you needed to hear that word today so that your faith wouldn't be broken. Hallelujah. Gives us a greater faith. Number three, it gives us hope for the future. It gives us hope for the future. When we see that he's the one who reveals his covenant to us, man, it gives me hope for the future because if he continues to reach out to us, I mean, throughout the whole entire Old Testament, he's reaching out to humanity through kings and through prophets and through people. And then that wasn't enough. So then he said, I'm going to send my son Jesus. And he continues to reach out to humanity and he continues to reveal himself over and over and over and over again. And that gives me a hope for a future because if I see him do it here, I know he's going to do it here and he's going to do it for me today. It gives me hope for whatever I'm walking through. Covenants, it gives me hope for my future. And lastly, it gives me assurance. It gives me assurance. Why am I assured? Because he's not just a covenant making God. He's not just a covenant keeping God. He's not just a covenant revealing God. He's a God that shows up and says, you know what, son? You know what, daughter? I know it's going to be difficult for you to keep it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to empower you so that you can. I'm going to give you everything you need for life and godliness. I'm going to give you everything you need to walk in my grace so that the blessings continue, so that the protection continues, so that the overflow continues. I'm going to give you everything you need. Isn't that why Jesus said, hey, it's better for you that I go. In the New Testament, look at his disciples. He's about ready to go. He says, it's better that I go because if I go, I'm going to leave you the helper. The Holy Spirit. And he's gonna live inside of you. And he's gonna what? He's gonna lead you and guide you in all truth. Hallelujah. He is the one. He is the one. He's the one that established the new covenant through his son Jesus. Listen to this. Ephesians 2, 4 through 13. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave his life. And when he raised Christ from the dead, it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So God can point us in all future ages as examples of all incredible wealth of his grace and his kindness toward us. As shown in all he has done for us, who are united with Christ Jesus. Listen to it now. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do all the good things he planned for us long ago. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel and you did not know the covenant promise God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ, through the new covenant. He's the one that reveals it. He's the one that keeps it. He's the one that establishes it. And He's the one that empowers us by His grace. God, we thank You so much. God, I pray for Canvas Church as we step into this new season, as we step into this new series. God, I pray that our hearts would be opened up. I pray that our minds would be opened up to receive that which You're speaking. God, that we would not run around like the ring bearer, but God, we would have an understanding and a comprehension of what it means to walk in covenant relationship, that You're the one that comes and You're the one that has established it. And that as we say yes to it, man, there are blessings in our life. There is forgiveness in our life. There is provision in our life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, if you were the one that I felt like God had a word for this morning, I would love to pray for you right up here. I had one in the first service, totally different. Young man responded, had a chance to pray for him. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but I believe that you're here and you needed to hear that this morning, that He hasn't failed you, but He's got you. But if I could pray for you this morning, love to do that. If you need prayer for anything else, some of the pastors will be up here, love to pray for you. God bless. As you make your way out, make sure you sign up for Serve Day. Here for the first time, make sure you connect at the New Here kiosk. Won't be here next week, but come back on the 22nd as we continue our series. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.